Following are comments on John Webster's The Duchess of Malfi, Act 4. Act 4, Scene 1. Faith, end here and go no further in your cruelty. Ferdinand torments his sister, the Duchess, in a twisted effort to drive her to despair and damnation. Bozola pleads with him to stop the madness, but to no avail. In Act 4, Scene 1, the play turns macabre in preparation for the lethal second scene that will see the demise of the Duchess, two of her children, and Cariola. Ferdinand uses gruesome props. He tricks the Duchess into kissing a dead man's amputated hand in the dark, and Bozola, doing Ferdinand's bidding, serves up a dimly lit wax tableau of her supposedly slain family. The Duchess understands the diabolical cruelty underwriting Bozola's encouragement. Quote unquote, "Come, you must live." Act 4, Scene 1, Line 67. To this, she responds, quote unquote, "That's the greatest torture souls feel in hell that they must live and cannot die." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 68 through 69. These dreadful pranks are worthy of Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, that barbaric diamond in the rough, with all its lopped limbs, ridiculous jokes about severed hands and heads, as in Titus's immortal line, quote unquote, "Oh, handle not the theme to talk of hands." And who can forget Marcus Andronicus's plea to Titus in Act 1, Scene 1, to accept the empery and, quote unquote, "Help to set a head on headless Rome." Act 3, Scene 2, Line 23, Folger Library Edition, which includes the folios Act 3, Scene 2, Fly Scene. For the second quotation, see the Norton Shakespeare Tragedies, Titus Andronicus, Act 1, Scene 1, Line 189. But they are more dangerous than schoolboyish pranks. When Bozola questions Ferdinand why he is doing such things to his own sister, the young man admits that he is doing them to the Duchess, quote unquote, to bring her to despair. Act 4, Scene 1, Line 113. As the Methuen New Mermaids editor points out in an earlier note for lines 72 through 73, this is strongly against Christian doctrine, since despair leads to damnation. Essentially, Ferdinand is trying to ensure that his sister spends eternity in hell. Beholding Ferdinand's menacing and possibly blasphemous actions, Bozola at last begins to be seriously troubled in his conscience and pleads with the Duke, quote unquote, "Faith, end here and go no further in your cruelty." Act 4, Scene 1, Lines 113 through 114. At least he has a conscience, which is more than we could be certain of before this scene. Yet, as we'll see, Bozola allows himself to serve as the executor of Ferdinand's depraved murders in the next scene. He actually has to go through with the violence. He has to see it before it cures him of any further allegiance to Ferdinand. Act 4, Scene 2. Necessity makes me suffer constantly. The Duchess speaks with Cariola about enduring her travails, and Ferdinand brings in a troop of madmen to entertain her, if that's what we should call it. At the beginning of Act 4, Scene 2, the Duchess turns philosophical in her conversation with Cariola. She may remind us a little of Shakespeare's Richard II. Except without that ill-fated sovereign's persistent self-pity, she says, quote unquote, "Necessity makes me suffer constantly, and custom makes it easy," apparently meaning continually and in a consistent or constant spirit. Act 4, Scene 2, Lines 29 through 30. Ferdinand carries on with his Theater of Cruelty campaign. How ironic that he brings in a troop of madmen to entertain the Duchess, since he himself is rapidly losing his sanity, and by the scene's end he'll be talking nonsense about hunting badgers. It's certainly to be hoped that no badgers were harmed in any stagings of this play. We don't know which madman sings the song on tap, but it begins with a howl and ends with a touching wish that, quote-unquote, we'll sing like swans to welcome death and die in love and rest. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 71 through 72. Considering Ferdinand's upcoming bout of lycanthropia, the howling accompaniment seems particularly appropriate. I am Duchess of Malfi still. The Duchess bravely endures an interrogation of sorts by Bozzola, who seems determined to play the keen observer and psychologist even as he does Ferdinand's depraved bidding. Still in Act 4, Scene 2, a madman's dance follows and the dancers depart. Then in comes Bozzola, and he begins to take us on a roller coaster ride with regard to his own emotions and, to some extent, our perception of him. At first, he disguises himself as he had told Ferdinand he would, and while in the costume of an old man, he plays the observant philosopher and psychologist. When the Duchess asks him, quote-unquote, who am I? Bozzola answers not as an obedient servant, the Duchess, but says instead, quote-unquote, thou art a box of worm seed, at best, but a salvatory of green mummy. What's this flesh? A little curded milk? Fantastical puff paste. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 117 through 119. This strange and mortifying response, and one more like it, soon call forth one of the play's most eloquent and admirable lines, quote-unquote, I am Duchess of Malfi still. Act 4, Scene 2, line 134. But even this doesn't stop the cascade of Bozzola's insulting responses. Bozzola is a perambulating memento mori throughout this scene, and at this point, with his remark that, quote-unquote, glories like glowworms afar off shine bright, but look too near have neither heat nor light. He borrows a thought from Webster's own play, The White Devil. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 136 through 137. As an aside, Webster seems to have borrowed for that reference as well from William Alexander, Earl of Stirling's Alexandrian Tragedy, Act 5, Scene 3. This latter borrowing is noted by R.W. Dent, D-E-N-T, in an article titled, quote-unquote, John Webster's Debt to William Alexander, Modern Language Notes, Volume 65, Number 2, February 1950, pages 73 through 82. A little below, when the Duchess asks him why he has brought up the subject of fashion, Bozzola answers, quote-unquote, Princes' images on their tombs do not lie as they were wont. Ellipsis. They are not carved with their eyes fixed upon the stars, but as their minds were wholly bent upon the world, the selfsame way they seem to turn their faces. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 147 through 148, and lines 150 through 152. What Bozzola says may remind some of us of the reflections of Victorian poet Robert Browning's great poem, The Bishop Orders His Tomb at St. Praxed's Church, in which a dying old prelate, surrounded by his faithless illegitimate sons, gives increasingly desperate instructions for the materials and location of his tomb in the church. This Renaissance churchman entertains the fond hope that he can perch forevermore in a niche and, quote-unquote, hear the blessed mutter of the Mass and see God made and eaten all day long. The bishop's sensibilities are at once utterly materialistic and genuinely reflective of his Catholic faith and belief in the afterlife. The poet thereby captures something essential to the bishop's era, which is Bozzola's era too. Paradoxically, in that age, one could be both worldly and otherworldly at the same time. I know death hath 10,000 several doors for men to take their exits. The Duchess maintains her dignity, even as death approaches and overtakes her in the form of strangulation by Ferdinand and Bozzola's henchmen. Still in Act 4, Scene 2, Bozzola seems genuinely voyeuristic in bearing witness to the cruel deaths of the Duchess, two of her children, and Cariola. The questions he asks are certainly of interest, but in consideration of the circumstances, they're also depraved. Quote unquote, "Doth not death fright you?" he asks the Duchess, but he receives not remarks that a person might pity, but instead wise statements such as, quote unquote, "I know death hath 10,000 several doors for men to take their exits, and 'tis found they go on such strange geometrical hinges you may open them both ways." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 209 through 212. As an aside, Webster may well have borrowed this thought from Michel de Montaigne, who writes that there are, quote unquote, 100,000 exits to depart this life. See his essay, quote unquote, "A Custom of the Island of Sea," spelled C-E-A, noted in the blog thespectacledavenger.blogspot.com, April 2009, see the blog entry titled, quote unquote, "Death's Thousand Doors." The Duchess goes to her death bravely, telling her executioners, quote unquote, "Pull and pull strongly, for your able strength must pull down heaven upon me." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 220 through 221. She kneels as she considers appropriate, and the deed is quickly done. Bozzola then calls for Cariola to be brought in, since she, too, is to be strangled. His treatment of her is diabolical. Her anguished pleas that she has not gone to confession recently, but also that she is pregnant, elicit only cruel taunts, and soon she, too, is dead. The two children remaining with the Duchess have been strangled as well. Bozzola manages a weak exclamation, quote unquote, "Alas, how have these offended," only to have Ferdinand intone, quote unquote, "The death of young wolves is never to be pitied." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 248 through 249. "I stand like one that long hath ta'en a sweet and golden dream." Bozzola undergoes his final disillusionment with Ferdinand, who blames him for the Duchess's murder and refuses to compensate him for his services. Still in Act 4, Scene 2, Bozzola's final disillusionment is characteristically mixed as to its source. Part of this source is revealed when he sees how Ferdinand reacts to the Duchess's death, an almost aesthetic remark, quote unquote, "Cover her face, mine eyes dazzle, she died young," gives way to the Duke's predictable attempt to blame Bozzola himself. Act 4, Scene 2, line 254. He also refuses to pay Bozzola, which has been a problem throughout the play. Bozzola feels, quite rightly, that he is tasked with doing other men's dirty work and then is not compensated adequately or respected for his service. Bozzola, then, seems genuinely outraged at Ferdinand's depravity, but he's also upset about the money owed him. Bozzola's words of awakening are hardly convincing if the aim is to purify our understanding of his character, but they are startling in their own right. He declares to Ferdinand, quote unquote, "I stand like one that long hath ta'en a sweet and golden dream. I am angry with myself now that I wake." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 313 through 315. By this time, Ferdinand has moved much closer to violent insanity, for one of his accusations against the Duke is, quote unquote, "The wolf shall find her grave and scrape it up, not to devour the corpse, but to discover the horrid murder." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 297 through 300. And then, quote unquote, "I'll go hunt the badger by owl light. 'Tis a deed of darkness." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 324 through 325. When the Duchess reawakens for a moment, Bozzola has just long enough to tell her a noble lie about Antonio's chances of reconciling with the Cardinal. The Duchess dies happy to hear this news. At the same time, Bozzola may be considering his prospects of attaining revenge or committing suicide. Quote unquote, I'll post to Milan, where somewhat I will speedily enact, worth my dejection. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 363 through 365. As the Methuen New Mermaid's editor suggests, this could refer to revenge or suicide. As yet, the audience can't know which it will be, if either. Thanks for listening. The date of this audio recording is Friday, July 18th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations from Webster's The Duchess of Malfi, I have relied on the Methuen New Mermaids 5th edition, 2021.